And he said, success to me is closing the gap between what your days look like and what you want your days to look like.
This is episode 522 on the Hidden Wire podcast with Benjamin Spall. G'day and welcome to the Hidden Wire podcast. How are you? Hope you're doing well, guys. Thank you for tuning in to this interview today. Guys, I've got a cracker of an interview to bring you, and it is with Benjamin Spall. He is a writer and the founding editor of My Morning Routine, a great website all about, you know, hacks and morning routines that can help you become more effective in your day and really become more effective in your life. He's originally from England. He moved to the United States a few years ago for love, and he's since married that girl as well. He has written for outlets including the Huffington Post, 99U, The Next Web, and Thought Catalog. In this episode, I chat to Ben about his new upcoming book, My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day Inspired. It's sure to be a good read, guys, so check it out. The links are in the show notes here. If you can support the show, use those links to Amazon and Audible within the show notes as well. And make sure you check out Ben's website as well. Connect with Ben. Thank him for coming on the show. It's a really important chat, guys. We talk about sleep, why sleep's so important, and some ideas around how we can more effectively achieve a better night's sleep. We also talk about morning routines, obviously, the commonalities there, but also differentiate that everyone is individual, and it's really important to understand that, and then to go out and experiment with things, and Ben has a bunch of different practices, etc., that you can experiment with within his book, that go out there, experiment with the things, and find, you know, your solid morning routine. Find what works for you and then go with that process. Really good chat, guys. Relevant for everyone. I hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Jump onto thehiddenwire.com. Leave your comments in the comments fields there as well. You can reach me directly. You can reach Ben directly. So if you have any follow-up questions you want to ask or some suggestions or comments about something that we've said, feel free to reach out, guys. We do love feedback and we love hearing from everyone that listens to our talk. So guys, check it all out, thehiddenwire.com. If you love it, then share it with your network, share it with your loved ones, share the love. That's what I always say. So go out there and be inspired, guys. Enjoy this episode. Hope it brings you some value. Talk soon.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, mate. Very good. Ready to start my morning routine of interviews today. So I'm actually breaking the chain, but I'm looking forward to speaking to you about your newest book that will be released shortly after people listen to this episode, called My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day. But before we get into that, let's just have a bit of a powwow. How are you this evening, I guess? Where are you located? You're in America now.
I am in San Francisco right now, so it's just coming up to midday. So, yeah, I'm good. This is normally the end of my morning, I would say, in terms of the productivity I can get into my morning. This is kind of the point where it begins to wane, which is probably why it's the best point to do an interview, to be honest. But yeah, this is where I'm starting to like look forward to lunch.
Okay. Cool. So you go.
So yeah, I was just going to ask how you say you're a morning person yourself. Like how at what point would you say your morning ends? Would you say it begins pretty early and then like by mid morning for most people, like 9, 10? Is that kind of when you're like looking more towards the afternoon?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose I get up at 5 every morning and I do a certain morning routine just to get me into the day, and then I do some creative work. And then I have breakfast with my family. Cook breakfast, do the dishes, all that sort of stuff. And after that, I work from about 9 to 12 generally at the moment. And that'll change soon with a change of routine. But and then after 12, I usually go for a swim or do something like that. And then the afternoons are really, that's it for me. I've spent my main efforts in the morning. It depends if there's something on, of course. I put it into the afternoon. But usually I try to save that time for stuff that doesn't require deep creativity or, you know, my hard focus. So I'm sure
we find that's very common. A lot of you know, so-called morning people, they can do everything in the morning and they can get all their most productive and creative work done during that time, but as soon as it's the afternoon, it's really kind of just you know, your brain kind of fries a little bit. You can deal with like basic admin, but aside from that, you're kind of done
pretty much. Yeah, and that's why I don't do most of my interviews at night. I do some occasionally, and I have done some couple of recently, and it really is not as an effective process for me personally. Yeah. But yeah, in the afternoons, I feel useless. So I try to leave all the mundane tick and flick tasks done in the afternoon and try to get most productive work done in the morning. But I sort of feel a little bit fortunate in the way I've set up my lifestyle, where I really, I don't feel like I have much on my plate. I seem to get a fair bit done, but I've just reduced all the crap and the unnecessary stuff, to be honest, and focus on what's important to me. I don't know if that's normal for everyone, but that's how I operate. And, you know, if I look at my schedule, it doesn't really seem like I'm doing a heck of a lot, but perhaps I am. I don't know.
I think there's very much a bias for productive people to feel like they're not getting much done, whereas in reality, compared to people who, you know, aren't really particularly into productivity, we're actually getting quite a lot done. We're just being very hard on ourselves.
Perhaps that's the case.
Even that, or it's just the opposite, and we're actually not very productive at all.
Yeah, well, I think it's the way you set up your lifestyle, and perhaps we could just start and we'll continue with the conversation here. But I really think, you know, looking back to some of my past careers that I was in compared to how I live my life now, there was just a lot extra stuff on my plate, obviously, to do with those particular careers, but there was a lot of unnecessary stuff that infiltrates our lives. And I suppose I've accidentally become a minimalist in that sense. I've just cleared out stuff that I don't need to do, stuff that I don't need to have physically. You know, so I really just created a minimalist lifestyle, and that really helps you just be more effective. So you sort of become purposeful in everything you do.
Yeah, you actually like just clear out everything that's not actually the most important things in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I was actually going back to your routine real quickly. I was wondering, do you get anything of like a second wind, like later on, like early evening or late afternoon, where you can actually do a few more hours, or is it pretty much done as soon as the afternoon rolls around?
It depends, I guess, on my morning routine, I believe it or not.
Right.
It depends on my sleep. So if I've had a good night's sleep, then that is definitely possible. I'm in a position at the moment where I can nap. So I usually try to get a 20 to 30 minute nap, and it's just like clockwork. You just lay down and 20 minutes later you're up. And that
is great.
A definite boost. Yesterday, for example, I did my morning routine, and I was definitely overtired because I just had a interesting night's sleep thinking creatively about this next opportunity that I'm moving into. And I did my morning routine, felt pretty drained because I was, you know, overtired. And then I went for a swim. I do a swim down here at the pool, and I was reluctant to do that, but I just forced myself to do these things. And surprisingly, I did it really well, did it in good time. And got out of that, and I felt charged, and I had a couple of things on my plate because at the moment I'm just getting ready to move back to Australia, so there's a lot going on.
Oh, cool.
So I really was aware that I needed to, you know, just continue on to completing the goals for the week, and my goals are pretty simple this week, is completing all my January posts for the podcast, updating my new personal website that I'm building, and getting a couple of those things off to the designer for final draft editing, and then doing a few book reviews. So it's a pretty simple schedule, you know, and there's other things that form into that, but they're the most important ones. So I just came home.
Yeah, honestly.
I did have energy that yesterday afternoon where I didn't have my nap, and seemed to productively go through those few tasks. I didn't get it all done, but still got more than I probably could have.
Right. Yeah, I found the same. We have a whole chapter in the book just about sleep, because sleep is so important to your morning routine and, of course, your actual productivity throughout the daytime. And though, you know, our main recommendation is to get enough sleep for yourself at night, we absolutely recommend, you know, taking these 20 to half hour naps, 20 minutes to half hour, if you can. Obviously, many people aren't in that position, but if you are in a position where you can take a nap in the daytime, we absolutely recommend it, because I've been doing that for a while now, not every day, but, you know, when I feel like I need it, and I rarely regret a nap, let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of benefits can come. And I think, again, you know, going back to your schedule, people that say they can't afford to have a nap, it's likely that they're just perhaps doing stuff that they don't need to do, and that's probably better used having that nap. And I think people feel guilty, about doing that.
Oh, yeah. I really wish, you know, there's some organizations like, I think, the Huffington Post and such like that, that are bringing the whole, you know, the sleeping at work, the nap pods idea, to actual, you know, employed people, like in a location. I'm honestly not sure how much that is going to catch on. I wish it would, but I don't really see it catching on that well. But something like that, actually in an environment where people could just work and then nap for 20 minutes, I think is great, if possible.
Yeah. It'll be interesting how you nap in the work environment, because I guess people are conscious about that. But Certainly for me, mate. I just have a tatami room here in Japan, and I just lay on the tatami mat, and it's just amazing. It really boosts your energy. So look, you spoke to Adriana, and I know she's recently I heard her talk about sleep, and this whole concept of sleep is really it's turning around. Yeah, like a lot of people were talking about hustle, and I'll sleep when I'm dead, and blah blah blah. And look, I'm one of those people that I really want to minimize my sleep because I just want more hours in my day. I like to live this life, I guess. And for a while there, I started waking up at 4:30. This was the last half of last year. So I was getting up at 4:30 and doing a bit of an extra sort of exercise routine. And I got to the end of the year and just changed things up because I sort of review my routines and schedules every 6 months or so. And changed things up a bit. And I realized that 4:30 was just a little bit too extreme for me. And I did feel the sleep deprivation sneaking in and affecting just my mood and my attitude and certainly my level of performance as well. So, talk to us about, I guess, the interview with Adriana, what you found out of her morning routines and maybe a bit further on sleep. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, she's written a lot about sleep. And what we got from her and what we got in general is it really is your morning routine, of course, is incredibly important. And obviously that is our main message. But also it really isn't anything if you don't get the right amount of sleep. And, you know, you can debate how much this is. It's approximately 7 to 9 hours for everyone. And that is a very small that, you know, 7 to 9 hours, that's kind of a big gap to be in. But what we remind people in the book is, just because it's 7 to 9 hours doesn't mean 7 hours is for you. You may be closer to 9. And we actually found, we put together the statistics for everyone we have on the website and everyone we're having in the book. And the average sleep time is 7.5 hours exactly. And we found that is true for like Fitbit data and Jawbone data and such as well. So there are so-called short sleepers, and they can sleep, 4 or 5 hours a night, but they are so uncommon. Like we say, they're so uncommon that if you think you are one, you're almost certainly not. And so from our point of view, sleep is so important. We interview the CEO of Vanguard in the book, Vanguard, the investment company. And he notes his very final line, which is brilliant, so we kept it in, is he says he'll sacrifice everything to get enough sleep. And I'm like, that's so key, because he gets up, I can't remember exactly, like 5 a.m., so he gets up pretty early. But he'll just go to bed as early as he can, just because he knows he is kind of useless if he doesn't get the right amount of sleep the night before.
Yeah, absolutely critical. And I'm really, at the moment I do, my routine is from 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. I'm really disciplined with that. I think it's important too. I heard that, having that solid discipline where it's a real good routine, not just, tonight I'll go to bed 11, tomorrow it'll be 9:30. Yeah, sticking to a routine really helps. But yeah, I do the 10 to 5 thing, and often it means sometimes I get to bed at 10:20 or 10:30 by the time I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wake up early too, just naturally wake up at 4, and I just feel this sudden click that my brain turns on and I've got it. So I don't just lay there. Often I don't lay there because I just find I'm rolling around. So I get out and get active. But I'm really interested about how that all links with health too, because obviously if your health is really, really good, mm-hmm. I'm sure that the sleep isn't as necessary.
We don't go into this much in the book, because this isn't an area that we're experts in, so we didn't want to pretend we are. We definitely make allowances in the book for people with sleep disorders and such, and health issues that means that they either can't get enough sleep or need more sleep than most people. So I can't speak too much on that. All I would say is just all things being equal, assuming everyone is basically fine, sleep is just so exceptionally important. And the way we phrase it in the book is basically that you cannot have a good morning or a good morning routine without having had a good night's sleep. For example, I only got six hours sleep, which is very rare for me. Normally I'm at least 7.5. So this morning I was like, ooh, I hope I can get through this interview and I hope I'm doing okay so far. But a very different experience, just even cutting off that just hour and a half that I would usually get, you feel very different upon waking, and your whole morning routine, even if you complete every single item within your routine, it still, doesn't have the same feeling to it.
Do you think sometimes it's a bit of a mindset as well?
I'm sure it could be. I'm sure if you actually made yourself push through and made yourself actually, you know, feel like I'm fine for a certain amount of period, for a certain period of time, you could do that. But I don't know. Personally, I feel like I would need a nap right at the end of that.
Yeah. I just, I remember back to when I was in my last sort of job in retail as the executive manager of a large, large store. And, I remember, like, if I had a bad night's sleep, and I had a bad night's sleep typically because my health wasn't in check back then. And I remember waking up, and it was one of those, you know, 3 a.m. sort of wake-ups. I'd be rolling around all night, and I just wouldn't be able to get back to sleep. And then I just started, it just started consuming the mind, saying, oh, I'm just not going to get enough sleep. This is just going to ruin my day. And that's how I went into my day, and I really believe that affected my day. Obviously, my health wasn't helping the situation of sleeping well. But I really believe that affected me. Now, if I have one of those nights where I do, for whatever reason, wake in the middle of the night, perhaps my health isn't quite as good as it has been, or something's going on in my life, I can still seem to get out of bed because I have this deeper underlying motivation, I suppose, you know, connection with why I'm here and why I'm getting out of bed every day. And that really helps just change that mindset and change the focus and allows me to just proceed into the day, even though I'm not tired. And yeah, there is a sense that I'm a little bit drained, but I can still get through those things. It just means I might crumble a little bit earlier in the day than normal.
Yeah, I can see that. We have somebody in the book and also on the website called Greg, and he has a great line, which is responsibility for life is a good driver to get out of bed. And that's in regard to like snooze buttons and such, like he's saying it doesn't snooze his alarm. And I think that's such a great line because it really shows that even if you are tired in the morning, even if you didn't get as much sleep as you wanted to, for most of us, just, you know, staying in bed longer, it will help us, you know, every few nights or even at the weekend. But for the most part, if it's a weekday and you have stuff to do, you should get up and actually just do it.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. So I know you're not the sleep experts, perhaps, but what sort of tips or advice did you gather that the audience can take away in regards to, you know, getting that better sleep? Obviously, 7 to 9 hours is the average, so if you can get more, that's always a good thing. But what else did you discover?
Well, yeah, like I said, yeah, so the main thing is, like, with that 7 to 9 hours, recognize that you may be on the further end of that. You know, you may be closer to 9 hours. Actually making sure that your environment where you sleep, your bedroom, or if you have a smaller apartment, like your bed within your apartment, actually is conducive to a good night's sleep. So for example, you know, if you may want to have blackout curtains, you may want to have a sleep mask, earplugs, actually get into a situation where sleep is easy for you. Also temperature. Yeah, temperature is a big one. And many people can't sleep if it's too hot, obviously. So actually get into an environment where it would actually be easy for your body to fall asleep. And of course, we have kind of the regular tips because it's just a small chapter in the book. So we have the standard tips of, you know, like the whole thing of blue light on your computer screen and on your phone. So using the apps like, you know, Flux and stuff that they have on iPhones now to actually make your screen kind of a yellow tinge. Which it isn't. So when you do that, we do make the point, when you do that, it's not the same as reading a book at that point. It's filtering the blue light, but it isn't entirely taking away. So it's making it better. But you're still, to an extent, looking at a computer screen. So we recommend that if you do need to be on your computer or phone late at night. But we also recommend just, like, you know, using dimmer light bulbs or dimming the lights yourself if you can do that. And just creating an environment where it's, like, it's dark outside and it's, like, dim in your apartment. You know, it doesn't have to be completely pitch black, but it just needs to be not, like, bright like the daylight. Just to, like, signal to your body that it's time to sleep.
Yep. Oh, very good points. What did you learn from Adriana about her morning routine in particular? Anything interesting or insightful there?
The main insightful thing from her was that I think she talks about this a lot in her book Thrive, but when she, about 10 years ago, got exhausted, kind of she was burnt out, and then she passed out and like hit her head, I believe, and really hurt herself. That was a moment for her when she realized that you know, she was working too hard, she was getting burned out, and it was really not a good lifestyle for herself, a way to be. So that's when she started to actually like think more about her health and think about her sleep and think about how she can take care of herself in a way that actually improves, you know, her relationship with other people, improves her work. And I think she talks about this in her routine. And I think that is the point for her when she realized actually this makes everything better. It makes the work she does better. It makes the way she treats other people better. It isn't actually she didn't have to choose between looking after herself and looking after her work, for example. She actually realized she could have both and she could have it better.
Yeah, yeah. Good distinction to make, I believe, in life.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk to us about morning routines. I did read either on the book review or the book blurb or maybe your website, that, you know, morning routines are very individual, yeah? And I think it's important. I think you made the statement that you really need to experiment and figure out what works for you and then use that morning routine to really thrive in your life. So talk us to a little bit on that, and then let's get into some good examples of what we could do in morning routines.
Yeah, so one thing I would say is we really hate it when we see articles coming out now where it's like, you know, you have to get up at 4 a.m. to be successful, or articles like this, which is, you know, we get it. We get why these headlines are used, but it's just kind of bullshit, you know. What we have discovered is, like you said, it really is. It's very individual, and your morning is, you really do have to experiment, because you can try something and it may not work for you, but we suggest trying something for at least a couple of weeks. You know, that may not be the exact amount of time you want to try, but give something a go for a couple of weeks. And then if it doesn't particularly work for you, you can throw it out. You can try something else. But the point is to try and to experiment. And the point of the book is we have like a bunch of interviews in there. So, you know, you can experiment by actually taking ideas from what people actually do. But within each chapter, we have a bunch of tips that we got the ideas, not from just from those interviews, but like from the 250 or so on our website.
Yeah, cool.
So it's kind of like a correlated, you know, bunch of tips. So we kind of looked through all our interviews that we've ever done and like figured out what was mentioned the most, and then, you know, figured out if that stuff was true and we agreed with it. And then we realized, like I said, the main point is just to experiment. There's no bigger tip than that. And obviously, to experiment, you have to try in the first place. And one important point we do make is that everybody does already have a morning routine. Like, you know, everybody has an evening routine. It's just what you do every morning upon waking up, so long as it's, you know, fairly regular. So like every single day you get up, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth. That is part of your morning routine right now. So you can still work around that and add things amongst that. So it's not like you're starting something from scratch.
Yeah, so add and subtract as necessary.
Exactly, yeah.
Really good point. And yeah, certainly I like that information, because I've found that so often, you know, wake up at, you know, the how-tos to be successful. And the subtitle of your book is How Successful People Start Their Day, which is very open to interpretation, and I like the fact that you say no bullshit. And I really sometimes, I see a title like that, and I get a sense that there might be some bullshit in it. But hopefully there's not, and I certainly don't want to suggest that there is. But I just want to maybe ask you a question. What do you, or how do you define success? Like, who is a successful person?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'll say regarding the subtitle that that was our publisher, and we don't dislike it, but we can totally see how it may give that impression.
What was your original subtitle?
I don't think we had anything special at any point. We went a few between a few different ones. We can see why it's necessary, you know, from a marketing point of view. So we like it for that reason. But sorry, what was your question again?
What was your original subtitle? What's your definition of success? Like, what is a successful person?
So in terms of that, I actually wrote this down of your questions. So basically, I'm actually stealing this from Austin Kleon. Do you know of him? He's a writer and artist.
Austin Kleon. No, he does. Name rings a bell, but no, don't really know.
Yeah. He has like the Steal Your Work. Show Your Work and Still Like an Artist. He has a couple books. But basically, I'm stealing this from him because it's kind of perfect in my view. And he said, success to me is closing the gap between what your days look like and what you want your days to look like. And I just thought that was so perfect, because it's very simple. It's very minimal. It could mean something incredibly big. You know, like, I want to live in a mansion, I want to have this amazing job, or it could mean something incredibly small, like I just want to look after my kids and, you know, let them have all they want. I think that's the perfect definition for me.
So success is what you want your day to look like and what your day looks like, and closing that gap?
Exactly, closing the gap between what your days look like right now and what you want them to look like.
Yeah, cool. I like that. I'd go with that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for, you know, anyone, is to really sit down and get a bit of paper out and put down success at the top and just say, hey, what is success to me? Because, you know, we get so clouded in comparison of what success looks like, and we base it on, you know, society's sort of general definition. And I think that can be really misleading in life and really a cause to a deep suffering and you know, a lack of happiness.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good, important first step. Why is morning having a solid morning routine so important? Why is it? Because I think this is very important for everyone listening. Why is it such an important thing?
It's important because it really does set you up for the rest of your day. And the way we see it, so many people nowadays, including, you know, ourselves in the past and even to an extent now, we sometimes just start our day by, you know, checking email on our phone while laying in bed, and or Twitter, for example. And that's just such a terrible way to begin your day, if what you're seeing in your email inbox isn't fun. Like, if your email inbox was literally just all nice messages from family members and close friends, then that's a fine way to start your day. That's perfect. But, you know, that isn't the case for the majority of us. And it's just kind of, you start your day just like, you immediately give yourself like a big old dose of stress when you start your day like that. So we believe both a combination of starting your day like in a calm manner, like you can be calm, you can just look after yourself, you can kind of like a calmer way of life, like an easier way of life for like an hour or so in the morning. But also, you know, if you enjoy working in the morning, you want to do your most creative work, you can do that. You can do it slowly. You can not open your email inbox, assuming you're working on your computer. You can just, you know, open whatever program you need, open a writing app and just start writing. Something like that, just a calm way to start your day, which will help. It will just help the rest of the day itself appear calmer, because if you open your email until like midday or something, all that time up to that point is time that you're working on stuff that you want to work on, as opposed to working on stuff that people have asked you to work on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, really good point. So what sort of things did you discover? What things can we experiment with? What perhaps are the commonalities of morning routines, of solid morning routines that you found? And what are some of the things that perhaps we should certainly avoid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the most common thing we found is that the people who, you know, we would consider successful in a way, whatever way that is, as we just described, do have morning routines. And they have them in the sense that they know they have one of them, they work on them, they actually try to make them better. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say, it goes back to the sleep point. Most people with these morning routines make sure they get enough sleep, because as I mentioned before, your morning routine is not really worth much if you yourself are not sleeping much.
Yep.
And one point that came up consistently, and it's kind of embarrassing because I myself don't do it, is working out. And working out is something that we specifically talk about working out in the morning, but a lot of the people we spoke to actually mentioned that they prefer to do this, you know, mid-afternoon, like you mentioned for yourself, or like later on in the afternoon or in the evening. That is something that I can't remember the percentage, but it's 70 something, but it was very high. Everyone we've ever interviewed, like 70 something, I think it was 79 actually, percent of people we've interviewed all say they work out at some point during the day. And that we found just to be, yeah, it's like you mentioned earlier about the swimming, how, you know, you'll go for a swim and then you'll feel more, you know, more charged, you'll have more energy. And that is something that's just come up so many times that it couldn't be ignored. And we had a whole chapter on that because of it.
Well, I used to do my routine in the afternoon. And I used to overdo it, really. But I used to, you know, finish work and then do it. And what I found is that it was harder for me to get into the good routine of it, because at the afternoon, you know, if something happened during the day that threw you off, you might just make yourself an excuse.
Right.
Especially if you haven't got that discipline in place. If you've got really good, solid disciplines, then perhaps you wouldn't allow yourself to make that excuses. But at the time, I would allow myself. I would let myself off the hook. Whereas now, perhaps I wouldn't. And so I flicked it to the morning, and I still do my exercise in the morning. I do yoga or a jog every morning. And it's just half an hour now. It was an hour, as I said, I was waking up earlier, late last year.
Right, it's just half
an hour. And that really just gets everything flowing, gets me in the right mood and gets me awake and active. That and a couple of other things. So I do that every morning, and the swim in the middle of the day is, it really is, because that's when the pool opens here in Japan. It opens at 1 o'clock. It actually works too, because it gives me a way out of the house, a way out of the office, and it really charges me up. Like I don't feel like doing it all the time, but once I get out, geez, I'm charged again and I feel good and ready to continue for the second half of my day. So, it's something that works for me.
That's so true. It's like many of the people we spoke to, you know, love working out, so you know they look forward to it. But many others we spoke to never look forward to it. Like you mentioned with the swimming, they never want to get in the pool. They never want to go outside in the cold for a run. But they feel better afterwards. So you kind of have to, you know, convince your brain that your brain knows you'll feel better afterwards. But you just have to convince it enough of that to go through with it.
Yeah, and I think it's also, you know, some things you perhaps don't like. Like, I absolutely love swimming. Sometimes I just don't feel like doing it. But and I think it's just finding out what works for you, you know, what makes you feel good, what you can actually walk into, and then maybe having some options as well. Because sometimes I wake up and go, you know what, I'd just rather go for a jog this morning than do this yoga routine. And I don't know why that is, but it just seems easier sometimes. So that's how I approach it. And with those options, it just allows me no way out. Like if it was just the one thing that I had to do every day, like jog, then perhaps I would go, oh, it's just getting a bit boring. I just really wish I had something else. So I think having the options perhaps is an important thing there too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we talk a lot about adaptation, about the importance of, it's not a case of creating your morning routine and then sticking to it forever. It's a case of constantly, you know, adapting to it and changing it up slightly. And your point is perfect. It's like if you just had, you know, go for do some yoga on your, you know, list or whatever, and you didn't feel like doing yoga that day, you would probably just not do anything. Whereas, you know, if the thing is, you know, work out for half hour or something, and you have the option of yoga, jogging, or anything else you want to do, you're more likely to actually choose between them. And we think that's a big distinction, and it makes a lot of difference.
Okay, and what research did you discover as it relates to movement and our actual health or cognitive ability to perform at a higher level? Did you sort of review any of that sort of stuff?
We didn't, to be honest, and it's sleep stuff. We kind of kept to the anecdotal evidence from the interviews, and then made sure that we, you know, backed up this data by looking online. But we didn't add anything new in that space, to be honest.
Yeah, and I don't know if you need to. I mean, if you look at people's lives and look at those people who are performing at a higher level or performing and succeeding in what they do and what they desire to do, and I really believe it comes down to how happy they live a life. I mean, movement is so critical, and I think you can just take that at face value and say, okay, well, if it works for them, there must be something in it. And I think that's why it's so interesting to look at successful people and their routines in particular, because you can
learn
a lot. Yeah, without the deep research, you know, and not everyone wants that, you know, all those studies and stuff as well.
Right, exactly. The book was actually going to be, in the beginning when we first envisioned it was going to be significantly less interviews. There's 64 interviews in the book. Uh-huh. It was going to be significantly less, with more, you know, like chapters about all these things like sleep and such. And we quickly realized, we're like, oh, all of these books, not only have they been written, you know, 10 times over, they've been written about recently, like Arianna Huffington's The Sleep Revolution. That was just a few years ago. So like rehashing a lot of that information doesn't really make sense. So we figured the best way to actually get this information to people would be through the interviews, you know, through the anecdotal advice. And we do, like I say, we do add our own thoughts along the way. But for the most part, it's kind of just a journey people go through by reading what other people do.
Yeah, cool. So what else? I mean, sleep, obviously exercise is a common one. And I think a lot of us, you know, are hearing that more and more. So hopefully, if you're not already, you're doing something there to incorporate that into your day. And, you know, again, going back to your earlier comment, is fitting it in when it suits your day. Like, I know a lot of people might start work early, so they can't do it first thing in the morning and they have to do it, you know, midday or afternoon, or they don't have the benefit of, you know, breaking and going for a swim in the middle of the day. Just working it into your current routine. What other things that came up that perhaps aren't so obvious?
Well, one point that we had all these different chapters. Like, for example, we have one chapter just for parents, and me and my co-author Michael, neither of us are parents ourselves, but we have 6 or 7 parents within that chapter that talk about, you know, their routines with their young kids, which is really interesting, and then we get some points from that. But one chapter which is particularly interesting is one where we look at how to kind of like find balance between, you know, your responsibilities and what you want to do in the morning and like your kids or your partner. And that is really an interesting point, because, you know, most people, well, not most people, I don't know, but a lot of people don't just have themselves to look after or be with in the morning. So, you know, having your own morning routine, especially if you just live in a small space, is kind of difficult because there's another person there. So that is a question we always ask people. You know, we ask if you have a partner, how does this work exactly? You know, do they give you the space you need? And we always got some really interesting answers to that. Sometimes it's easy, like, you know, the partner will leave for work early, or they'll deal with the kids, or, you know, while you're doing your thing. But that is something that we thought was something that really needed to be touched upon in the book, because it's a question that if it wasn't there, people would be asking. Because it's really difficult, like, especially like the parents, you know, you have a child that, you know, needs you. It can't do anything by itself, especially if they're a young child. So fitting your morning routine in among that is incredibly difficult. We had Nick Bilton in the book, and he writes for Vanity Fair now. He's done a few books. He's in his mid-30s, and he recently had a kid. So he actually mentions, or he has two kids now, I believe. He mentions in his routine, he talks about his pre-kids routine and then his post-kids routine. And his pre-kids routine, I think he comments, is just like this beautiful, you know, relaxing time. You know, gets up early, he gets his coffee, he sits down and has, he just starts writing. Like, he'll write his book, and then he'll write his Vanity Fair stuff. And then he talks now how, like, he has kids, and it just couldn't be more different. And, you know, he can't wait to go back to a more, you know, personal routine for himself. But he, of course, understands how important it is to look after his kids right now.
Yeah.
But to get those differences and to see what it's like, because, like I said, my co-author and I are not parents yet. That was really fascinating, and I'm really glad we covered it, because that is an experience for, you know, a lot of people. And to just read the book and see, oh, this is all, you know, single millennials who have nobody to look after but themselves, that would be really off-putting for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also important to understand for parents out there that, you know, make that, and it's not an excuse, I don't want to say it's an excuse, but a lot of people say, look, I've got kids, you don't know what it's like, I just don't have time for that by myself. And I get that, but I also believe that you sort of got to make that time, yeah? Like, for me personally, I've got two young kids, and I'm fortunate enough that they don't get up first thing in the morning when I do, but, you know, they're still there, and that certainly has affected my life, and my wife does take a lot more, I think, child duties onto her shoulders as well. For me, what has worked is just getting up earlier. You know, my kids typically, depending on the day and time of the year, won't get up till 7 or 7.30. So that gives me from 5 till 7 or 7.30 that self-time to do my creative writing, to do that exercise routine. If I was getting up at 7 o'clock, there'd be no chance. So that's why. And, you know, I go to bed at 10 o'clock, so I avoid watching TV at night and things like that. Really helps. So it's just looking at your schedule and again, prioritizing what's really important to you. And if there is good science and good evidence that morning routines help you be more effective, then perhaps you need to clear out some of the garbage from the schedule that isn't helping you, you know, achieve the level of success that you desire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely agree with that point, that if you can get up early, you know, make sure you get enough sleep. If you can get up early to actually do the stuff before the kids wake up, that's so beneficial to people. You know, that's your time when they're not awake, so they're not relying on you. And we actually had someone, a parent, I think we just had her on the website, and she mentioned something like, since having her child, she's a freelancer, so she works at home, but she says since having a child, her like productivity has increased like 1,000% or something, because she just like cuts away all the fat and cuts away what isn't important, so she can get up early a couple of hours before her kid wakes up and actually just do what is actually important to get done for her day.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Anything else there on morning routines that you want to sort of mention before we break off into some final questions?
No, I think I've covered a lot of it. There's a lot of different chapters in the book. Like I noticed, we have one final point. We have one on when you're traveling. So like if you're in a different environment, staying at a hotel, you know, how to keep up your routine. That's an interesting one. So within that chapter, we have several people who frequently travel, and you know, a lot of the answers are sometimes along the lines of I can't keep it up. That's a typical one. But we also have people who kind of purposely have a kind of slimmed down travel version of their routine, so they can kind of get most of it in while they're traveling. So that's an interesting point. But no, other than that, I think we've covered a lot of it. Yeah.
So I think that is a really good point. I'm terrible on my traveling routines. I just let it all slide out the window. which I sort of allow myself to do. I think it's sometimes good to do that. But yeah it's, really interesting chapter. It depends, and it's something that I look forward to reading myself.
There's different types of travel, of course. You know, we made this distinction between like vacation travel, where, you know, on vacation you can choose to still do certain parts of your routine if you like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can just completely disregard it, and that's also fine because you're on vacation. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting chapter for people who travel a lot, especially if they travel a lot for business.
Yeah. And I assume there's a lot of information around, you know, what you consume in the morning as far as, you know, your mind goes, like reading even affirmations and journaling. I assume you mention a lot of that stuff because that always seems to come up in interviews that I do. But look, a worthy book, and I want to just encourage the audience out there to go check it out. I'll stick the links in the show notes. So if you want to support the show, guys, use the link in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. And that's for Benjamin Spall's book, My Morning Routine, How Successful People Start Every Day. So check it out and use the links within the show notes there. That'd be awesome. So Ben, I've got some final round questions for you personally. The first question I want to ask is, what are your routines?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah, so basically, I have a very simple routine that I've had at least a couple of years now. And even though that's quite boring, it works, so you know. And it's basically, I try to be as calm as possible in the morning. I know I harped on about this earlier. But my wife and I wake up, and I typically come right into the kitchen and start making breakfast. And while I make breakfast, I try my hardest not to check anything, like not to check email on my phone, not to check project management stuff. I try and be as calm as possible. I don't check Twitter. What I will often check is Instagram, because for me, I try and curate the people I follow on Instagram. To me, Instagram's pretty calm. You know, I don't use it much myself, so I'm not getting loads of likes or comments I need to reply to. It's just, going through a nice flow of nice pictures. So I typically like to do that. So then I make breakfast with my wife. We sit down and chat. We have a cup of coffee, cup of tea. And it's just a very calm way to start the day. She doesn't look at her phone much either. We kind of just stay in the moment, because by the time we get to work, everything is just going to change. Everything's going to become, the stresses of the day, the news, whatever's happening. So we kind of like to just have that moment to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important, and something that I don't think about often, at least, is just that importance of calmness in the morning. I think that's why I meditate in the morning, is because that sort of brings that in. Otherwise, I would be like, 30 minutes of routine, exercise, get that out of the way, go do some quick breakfast, go have a shower, do some writing, and it'll just be all rush, rush, rush. So that sort of certainly helps me bring a bit of calmness and just awareness, I guess, that carries on through my day.
Yeah, it's worth so much. If you can get it, it's worth so much. And like we say, parents, if you can get up earlier before your kids wake up, the calm is just worth everything. And, every day, as long as I've got a good night's sleep, every day that I wake up and, it's a morning, it's a brand new day, it just feels so good. Like, to me and to people who... I'm not a morning person per se. I'm like somewhere in the middle. Like, I get up about 7:30 a.m. That's not early by any means. But I'm somewhere in the middle. And every time I wake up, as long as I've had a good night's sleep, it feels so good compared to like 4 or 5 p.m. like, later in the day. Like, that's the best I'm going to feel all day. So I kind of want to keep that calm feeling going for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And I actually wish I could encourage my wife to do the same. I don't want to discourage her from sleep, because the research that I'm hearing about sleep at the moment says to me that you should just sleep until you wake up.
Perhaps
I'm terribly doing myself injustice by getting up at 5 a.m. to an alarm. I'd like to, because, when she gets up, she's often up when the kids are up, and then it's just rush, 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 and it's just chaos. And I see my calm morning turn to chaos very quickly on occasions. And sometimes I think if you just got up a little bit earlier, 15 minutes or so, that'd just allow you to have that calmness and be more calm when the kids wake up and really not get overwhelmed by it all. But that's a debate for me and her to have at a later stage.
Do the kids wake up at a, pretty much the same time every day, on a weekday?
No, they're a bit random, and we sort of let them just wake up when they wake up. As I said, usually it's 7:30. I could safely go with that. But sometimes, my oldest gets up at 6 and comes down here. The little one always seems to get up at about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And again, it depends on the season. So winter, it's usually later because it's cold. And summer, it's a bit earlier because it's brighter as well. So cool routine. I like it. And what's my next question? Your definition of success you've mentioned already. So we'll stick that in there. What? I've lost my question now. The next question: what advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
So the main thing I came up with would be to be more proactive about pursuing creating opportunities, as that is something I wasn't really doing back then. At that point in my life, I didn't really pursue much, which is now, for example, when we had the opportunity to write this book, I like kind of grabbed it with both hands. Me and my co-writer, Michael, we're just like, this is lucky. You know, we were approached by the publisher. They asked us if we wanted to write a book. We wrote a proposal and they accepted it. We're like, not everybody gets this opportunity, so we're going to make the most of it, because to not make the most of it is kind of like a shitty way of working, is for people who would want this and have not got it. So we're really making the most of it, which is certainly something I didn't do back in my when I was 20 years old.
So a proactive approach to opportunities that come your way.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What one piece of productivity advice would you share?
Yeah, so this is kind of similar to like whether you're a modern person or not, but it's recognize when you're most productive and actually do your work during those times. And when you're not productive, actually try and like get a nap in or something. So for example, like I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty productive up to around midday, maybe 1 p.m. I'm pretty productive.
Yep.
And then from then, and part of it is eating lunch, you know, but the studies have shown that even if you don't eat a heavy lunch or don't eat a lunch at all, many people still get like an afternoon slump feeling, especially if they're more morning people. So it's off. But past around 1 p.m. or so, I can't really do much until maybe 3, 4. And that's kind of tough. And that's when I try and, you know, do some admin work, like I said earlier, or if I have errands to run, I might do them then. But then I do get something of a second wind around 4 till about 7, 7:30. So that's kind of what I have to recognize. So when I feel very unproductive from 1 till 3 or so, and I'm really not doing much, I just have to remember that, you know, I'm going to feel it coming back again and to actually work with it and then, you know, do some more work after that point.
Yeah, you look at whole societies do that sort of routine, you know, they shut down that 12 to 3, yep, Italy and places like that, so.
I lived in Spain for a while, about 5 years ago, and yeah, the whole siesta situation, it was perfect for me. I'm like, this is how I live my life.
That's cool, hey, I'd like to give that an experience, and again, not available to all of us, unfortunately, with their lifestyles that we've sort of created, but really cool. The next question I want to ask you, what piece of advice would you give someone looking to make some change?
Yeah, so this is, I think this is something that's skipped over a lot, but I think you really need to figure out your responsibilities first and then work from there. So, you know, for example, if you have a partner, if you have kids, you can read all this advice online about how you can change your life, etc., but you really have to figure out how they fit into the equation. And basically, if you have kids, you are like so responsible for them. It's like, you can't mess around with that. So you really, whatever, you know, considering a change or something, kind of just figure out who you're looking after and like how that affects them, and then kind of go from there. And I appreciate that's a boring answer, but I think it's not said enough.
Okay. No, I think it's worthy, and you made a few points that have sort of suggested that there's a lot of these how-to things, you know, online that we look at, you know, 5 ways to do this, 5 ways to do that, 10 ways to be more awesome in bed, whatever it might be. And if they all work, then we'd all be awesome, wouldn't we? But
right. I feel like a lot of people are excluded from those kind of articles, which, you know, makes sense. Not everything is for everyone. I just think that is a point that needs to be mentioned.
Yeah, well, we need to bring some more realness and honesty to the table, you know, about change as well. So, Worthy, and what is your favorite food?
Okay, yeah, so many types, but I will go with Indian food. Ramen, which I guess you get pretty good ramen in over there in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Steak, I can eat a lot.
Okay. What's your favorite leisure activity?
Okay, so from a purely relaxation perspective, and this will sound lazy, but it is just reading. And I remember tweeting something about 4 years ago where I said that I never feel richer than when I'm sat in a comfortable seat reading a good book with a cup of tea in hand. And that has pretty much been the case since then, and I can't see that ever changing.
Yeah, cool. Do you have a favorite book?
Yeah, so I came up with several. I read quite a lot because, like I said, it's my favorite relaxation activity. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, which is a popular one. And then a couple thousand years later, the relatively recent book, Deep Work by Cal Newport. That was excellent. And then anything by Walter Isaacson. He recently came out with the new Leonardo da Vinci book. And Robert Greene.
Okay.
Yeah, Green with an E on the end. Yeah, he does some good stuff.
Good ones. So I'll stick all those in the show notes, guys. Check them out. Use the links if you can support the show in that sense. That'd be great. And I'll stick a copy of Benjamin's book in there as well. So check it out at thehiddenwire.com. Do you have a favorite quote, Ben?
Yes. So, again, I came up with several, so I'll go through them quickly. I love the John F. Kennedy quote, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men." I love the quote, "The bad news is time flies, the good news is you're the pilot," and that's by Michael Olchester. And I also like the Cheryl Strayed quote, which is, "This is not your responsibility, but it is your problem."
All right. I'll have to go search for those two. They're good ones. I like those.
Thank you.
Particularly the time flies one. I think it's really important.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
So, do you believe we all have a why, a purpose?
Yeah, so even if we don't know what this is, I believe it is something that guides, you know, everything that we do. I think it's something that you could maybe deep down get someone to describe who wasn't sure. But yeah, I do think we all have one, yeah.
And what does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
Yeah, so I have kind of like a short and long-term goals around this question. And in the short term, you know, while I'm still alive, I would say that's just to generally be a good person and help those who are around me. And in the longer term, after I'm gone, it would be just for my contributions, whatever that be, just to continue to help people. I know it's very basic, but yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. I've got another question that I haven't put on the list yet, but it's a new one. So it's really asking you what you believe is the underlying motivation behind everything you do.
Everything I do or everything people do?
Everything you do. What gets you out of it? What makes you do everything you do? What is the driving force behind everything you do?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I about this myself, actually. I would say generally it's just to help people. And, of course, I want to, you know, it's very important to me that I help my family, but on a longer-term basis because, you know, the whole idea of us just being a planet in the sky, you know, the whole – when you think too far out, that's kind of when things get a bit messy and a bit confusing. But on a very basic level, what I feel I can do on Earth and what everyone can do on Earth is just to help other people, you know, try to alleviate suffering in some way whatsoever. I think that's a very worthy goal, and I think that's what everyone should strive to do, even just in the smallest amount, to actually just help people out.
So helping people out, alleviating suffering, I certainly resonate with that. Why is that so important to you?
Like I say, when I consider... you know, consider the universe, consider what the Earth is, you know, consider what we're doing here, I'm like, I'm not sure what we can do except help people and except make people feel better and, you know, like donate to charity or literally donating items, you know, actually just giving your time, helping people that are, you know, not as fortunate as you. I think that's everything.
How does that make you feel?
I mean, obviously, it makes yourself feel good, but I think the main thing is just to know that anything you do is actually going towards these people. I even mean, you know, with my writing, actually, you know, because I believe a morning routine is very important. So helping people to figure that out for themselves and giving them ideas of how to get to it, it makes me feel great, and I think it's a worthy cause.
So I like, yeah, okay, good stuff. Helping people and helping people to alleviate suffering in their life.
Yeah, just those easy ones, you know, nothing too complex.
Yeah, no, but I think that's really important. And if you're helping people through morning routines, you know, alleviate the suffering so they can be more productive and live a better day. Really, our life is an accumulation of the days. So if we can live more and more better days, then we're going to have hopefully a more joyous or happy life.
Yeah, that's exactly like why we have the parents chapter in there as well. We just want to point out that this is for everyone, you know, even if you think this is something that is just too far outside of what you can do because of everything else you have going on, just point out that this can help you regardless of your situation. And yeah, I think people need to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can people best connect with you and reach you?
Yeah, so the best thing to do right now is just go to mymorningroutine.com. We have a bunch of interviews, about 250 on there. You'll find something that interests you, and we also have articles and such. And yeah, the book will be out May 1st in the US, in Australia, in the UK. We're waiting on a Japan deal, so hopefully we've got Japan, Russia, China, South Korea. We're hopefully going to get some more, but yeah, 1st of May for all of those right now. We'll have links to that on our website when it comes out. So yeah, cool. Pretty cool.
Very cool stuff. Yeah. Very cool. Congratulations. And
thank you very much.
How long have you been doing this work for?
The website has been going for 5 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just coming up. Like, oh, that was a few days ago. We missed the anniversary. 5 years, yeah.
Nice. Well, mate, it's been a pleasure. There's a lot of questions I could have asked you, but we'll have to save for another day. All the best with the book. And, guys, again, check it out at thehiddenwide.com for this episode. The show notes there. The links to Ben and the book as well. Hope you've enjoyed this chat. And, Ben, thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Great to speak with you.
Talk soon, guys. Thanks for coming. Peace, passion, purpose. See you soon. There you have it, guys, my interview with Ben. What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Did you get some value out of it? I certainly did. I really liked the conversation. There was no bullshit, you know. It's all about really creating a morning routine that will help you live the lifestyle that you desire, live the life of success that you want to live. And I think that's what's really important, is to understand that it is all very individual, all very unique, and you need to find out what works for you. But morning routines certainly do help. So a worthy conversation nonetheless. So let me know what you think. Let Ben know what you think. You can connect with us at thehiddenwhy.com, episode 522. Guys, as always, if you love any of the episodes you're listening to, share them for me. Share them with your tribe, your network. That'd be huge. You can leave us a review on iTunes anytime you wish. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, if you've got any suggestions for the show, comments, questions, etc., my email address is probably the best form there, or you can connect with me through Facebook and Messenger. Other than that, guys, I have a book coming out myself called The Ultimate Life Map, so you can help support that by jumping on over to theultimatelifemap.com, putting your email address in there for the newsletter list, and be kept up to date when that is released. There's all the information about the book, what it's all about there, etc., and my goals for the book as well. So check it all out at theultimatelifemap.com. Guys, that's it from me. You know what to do. Go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why. My name is Lee Mullinsey, signing out. See ya. Peace. Passion.